What if I told you that the biggest threat to your startup isn't your competitors, market conditions, or even a flawed product? Here's a startling reality. 65% of startup failures come from internal implosion, conflicts between founders, poor early decisions, and power struggles that tear companies apart from within. Think about that. While you're obsessing over product market fit and customer acquisition, the real danger is sitting right next to you at the conference table. This isn't speculation. After studying nearly 10,000 founders over a decade, a clear pattern emerges. Entrepreneurship is less about brilliant innovation and more about navigating a minefield of predictable dilemmas. Tech titans like Mark Zuckerberg and Reid Hoffman have called this research essential reading they wish they'd encountered before launching their ventures. From Twitter's Evan Williams to countless others, the same traps ensnare passionate founders who believe their vision and drive will overcome any obstacle. The uncomfortable truth? Your early decisions create ripple effects that can sink your ship years later, and most founders are completely blind to what's coming. When should you take the entrepreneurial plunge? Technology founders typically wait 13 years before starting companies. Life sciences founders, nearly 16 years. But waiting too long carries its own dangers. Barry Knowles spent 25 years in telecom, methodically building industry knowledge and networks before launching Mastery with clear client insights. Contrast that with Vivek Kular, whose online ticketing startup struggled because we were engineers who had never worked in this area. Yet experience cuts both ways. Startups survive longest when founded by people with mid-range experience, around 25 years. Beyond that, career handcuffs strengthen. Status, high salaries, stock options, non-compete agreements. Interestingly, 70% of high-growth founders were married when they started, and 60% had children. A working spouse provides crucial financial security. What releases these handcuffs? Specific triggers. Your employer's growth stalling, layoffs, financial windfalls, or family changes like kids starting school. The ideal scenario, career experience, personal circumstances, and market conditions all aligning, rarely happens. Most founders launch despite imperfect timing because waiting for perfection means never starting. Should you go solo or build a team? Among high-potential startups, only 16% were solo ventures. Barry Knowles represents the rare successful solo founder. Leadership is all about taking in information and making a decision. But most founders lack his comprehensive skill set. Tim Westergren understood this when founding Pandora Radio, refusing to proceed until finding co-founders to fill his technology and business knowledge gaps. Each additional co-founder exponentially increases complexity, more coordination costs, communication challenges, potential role conflicts. The fundamental challenge, excessive optimism, blinds most founders to their startup's critical needs, making it essential to vigilantly identify gaps before they become fatal. Most founders recruit friends or family. It feels natural, but creates devastating consequences through the playing with fire gap. Evan Williams' journey illustrates this perfectly. His first two startups with friends and a girlfriend failed. Only his third attempt, with a mere acquaintance possessing relevant experience, succeeded. The data confirms teams with prior social relationships show 28.6% higher co-founder departure rates than complete strangers. The playing with fire gap represents the dangerous distance between potential relationship damage and likelihood of addressing problems. Chinese entrepreneur Bei Guo explained, "Because they are your most trusted friends, you can be almost 99% open with them. But somehow, there is 1% out there you think you will risk hurting them if you say it. It is exactly this 1% that makes all the difference." We naturally exhibit homophily, birds of a feather flocking together. All male or all female teams occur 5 times more frequently than chance predicts. Ethnically homogeneous teams happen 27 to 46 times more often than random. While similarity builds trust faster, it creates redundant strengths and missing critical skills. Some teams actively reduce this gap. Sittercity's Genevieve Thiers and boyfriend Dan Ratner created a Geneva Convention, requiring documented disagreements copied to executives, forcing objective focus. These uncomfortable early conversations prevented catastrophic conflicts later. Despite founders claiming indifference about titles, fierce CEO jockeying reveals otherwise. Research shows idea people become CEOs 47% of the time versus 12% for non-idea founders, making title negotiations among the toughest early decisions. Title assignment flows easier with complementary skills. Think Jobs building the company, Wozniak the product. Pandora Radio adopted clear division. John Kraft handled business, Will Glazer engineering, Tim Westergren music relationships. Each had complete domain authority. Teams must choose decision-making approaches, egalitarian consensus, or hierarchical autocracy. Research shows CEO dominance in high-tech environments correlates with 19% decreased performance. While consensus improves decisions, it's too slow for startups. Most veterans warn against egalitarianism, yet most teams initially choose it, necessitating painful transitions later. Two-person teams face unique challenges. As one founder noted, two people at the wheel is the worst way to drive. Founders' core motivations, control-focused versus wealth-focused, dramatically impact assignments. Two control-motivated founders create instability, both wanting CEO authority. Wealth-motivated founders typically align better, focusing on value-building arrangements. Splitting ownership proves more contentious than dividing roles. Here's a shocking statistic. 73% of founding teams split equity within a month of founding, despite massive uncertainties about contributions. These early splits create psychological anchors nearly impossible to renegotiate. Waiting allows teams to assess whose skills matter and actual commitment levels, but potential co-founders may walk without equity offers. Four key criteria emerge: past contributions, opportunity cost, future contributions, and founder motivations. Idea people typically receive an idea premium of 10 to 15 percentage points. About 59% of founders contribute capital, mostly $1,000 to $25,000. Despite improbability of equal contributions, 33% of teams split equity equally to avoid friction. Setting early equity splits in stone represents founders' biggest mistakes. They plan for best-case scenarios, assuming high commitment persists and skills remain equally valuable. They overestimate early value creation compared to future contributions. Dynamic equity agreements using vesting schedules handle startup uncertainties. Vesting requires founders to earn equity over time, creating golden handcuffs, incentivizing continued contribution, while protecting remaining founders if someone leaves. Despite benefits, teams resist vesting until investors force it, fearing it signals distrust. The uncomfortable truth? That discomfort is precisely why vesting matters. It addresses hard realities most founders prefer ignoring until too late. Here's a cruel irony. The better you perform as founder CEO, the more likely you'll be fired. By the third financing round, over half of startups have replaced their founder CEOs. This isn't about failure, it's about success creating the conditions for your own removal. Lou Cern's story captures this perfectly. He methodically prepared for entrepreneurship, founded Wiley Technology, and successfully hit early milestones. Yet during the third financing round, investors insisted he step down as CEO. His potential replacement even demanded he relinquished his board chairmanship. Despite doing everything right, Lou faced either refusing the professional who could build Wiley's value or being completely sidelined from his own creation. Two types of success trigger replacement. First, when product development finishes, the organization needs sales and marketing functions, requiring the CEO to manage multiple unfamiliar departments. Technical founders often lack the necessary financial sophistication and management skills. Second, successful fundraising fundamentally shifts power dynamics. With each round, founders lose board control to outside investors, prioritizing shareholder value, who often believe a professional CEO is needed for the next growth stage. This creates perverse incentives. If the company tanks, I'm gone. But if it's a big hit, I'm also gone. Founder CEO departures are most common at very low or very high growth rates. Middling growth offers the best retention chance. Can you achieve both wealth and control? While luck matters, founders can take specific actions to improve their odds. Barry Nalls exemplifies effective preparation. Save aggressively, maintain a low personal burn rate, and accumulate seed capital before launching. Such founders enjoy greater bargaining power with resource providers. Serial entrepreneurs often approach this ideal in later ventures, receiving larger equity stakes and remaining CEOs longer than first-timers. About 18% secure capital from investors who backed previous startups, allowing them to negotiate terms preserving more control and ownership. The fundamental reality: entrepreneurship means pursuing opportunities without regard to resources currently controlled. Yet founders are 60 times more likely to be resource constrained than fully resourced. Attracting necessary human, social, and financial resources requires giving up valuable assets, specifically economic ownership and decision-making control. Understanding this trade-off allows founders to make strategic choices about when to sacrifice control for resources and when to maintain control at the expense of growth. Every entrepreneurial decision reflects one fundamental dilemma: wealth versus control. The data is stark. Founders maintaining both CEO position and board control hold equity stakes only 52% as valuable as those who relinquished both. Building valuable companies requires attracting resources, which means surrendering ownership and control. Evan Williams illustrates this perfectly. At Blogger, he chose control. Inexperienced partners, no professional investors, declined acquisitions. Result? Full control of a company that sold far below potential. At Adeo, he chose wealth. Experienced CEO, $5 million from VCs, seasoned executives. When the team pivoted to Twitter, he bought out investors to regain control, then eventually hired Dick Costolo as CEO. Neither outcome is inherently better. It depends on your core motivation. What's problematic is making inconsistent choices or choices opposing your true goals. Before your next hire, equity split, or investor meeting, ask, am I building a kingdom I control or wealth I can cash out? Trying to have both without acknowledging trade-offs is how most founders end up with neither.